When I taught this talk for Relief Society, the first thing I asked was, what are your wedding colors going to be? You didn't have wedding colors,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't.
Because that's an American thing, apparently. But, well, if I ever get married, I'd choose red because that's my favorite color. And I really like white and black because of the piano. The piano is my thing. So that's what I would do. Red, white, and black.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. It's just funny, too, though. I remember when I was in seminary, and one time our teacher asked that question just for fun, like, just as, I don't know, like an icebreaker or something. And the boys would say something like, I don't know, like blue and green, like just really basic colors. And the girls would say something like Tiffany blue, lilac or whatever, like just really like specific colors.
Oh, yeah. That shows the difference between men and women, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Welcome to the Consecrating Your Life podcast, hosted by me, Elena Aburto, and my mom, Reina Aburto. Today we discuss Elder Bednar's most recent general conference talk, which is about the garments of the priesthood that the Lord has bestowed upon us. We hope to turn our listeners to the temple, the house of the Lord, the covenants that we have made there, and we invite you to choose to embrace the gifts that the Lord has given us to remember Him.
So, we both really enjoyed Elder Bednar's talk during this last general conference.
And the name was Put On Thy Strength, O Zion.
Yes.
To be given during the October 2022 general conference, right?
Mm-hmm. You want to explain the parable that he describes in his talk?
Yes. Well, he first starts explaining what parables are. You know that parables usually are stories that compare spiritual truths with material things and mortal experiences. Many times the message is not said in a specific way, but, you know, it's for the reader to understand what they're trying to say. And so he talks about this parable of the royal marriage feast. And the parable says that there was a king which made a marriage for his son. So it was like a wedding party that he had for his son. And he invited people to the wedding. But the people that he invited didn't come to the wedding. So what he said is that he sent his servants and sent them to go their ways and to just invite everyone, you know, to the farm, to the ways and different ways, the different roads, and just invite whoever wanted to come. Mm-hmm. And then he got some guests. But the thing is that before the people will come into the wedding, he will provide to them like a special garment, a wedding garment that they needed to wear. But then one of the guests chose not to wear the garment, which was taken by the king as something, you know, like a show of disrespect.
One of the things that Elder Bednar describes too is just how weddings were back then in ancient Jewish times, where they just required like extensive planning and the guests were informed far in advance, and the wedding lasted about 1 to 2 weeks. So it was like a really big deal.
Yes. So it was sad that some people chose not to attend the wedding.
Yes.
Right? But then among the ones that attended the wedding, there was one person who really didn't want to follow all the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And then the king asked him, you know, why he was not wearing the garment that was provided for him, and he was just speechless. He didn't have any excuse. He didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. And then Elder Bednar says that the parable concludes with the scripture that says, for many are called, but few are chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And in Joseph Smith's translation of the Bible, he wrote it this way. He said, for many are called, but few are chosen. Wherefore, all do not have on the wedding garment. I really like what Elder Bednar says. He says, the invitation to the wedding feast and the choice to partake in the feast are related but different. The invitation is to all men and women. An individual may accept the invitation and sit down at the feast, yet not be chosen to partake because he or she does not have the appropriate wedding garment of converting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his divine grace. Thus, we have both God's call and our individual response to that call, and many may be called, but few chosen. So I feel like, in other words, what he's saying is that we choose whether we are chosen or not, in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, because Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, like, they have chosen all of us. They don't select a few of us that get to be saved. Mm-hmm. They want all of us to be, but it's up to us whether we accept their invitation.
Yes. So we choose to be chosen, like yes. you said, which is, I think, is a beautiful concept. Mm-hmm. You know, that it also depends on us, on our actions, our desires, and what we want, what we really want in our heart. Mm-hmm. So we are all invited, but it's up to us to attend, to respond to that invitation, but also to show our Heavenly Father that that we are really willing to partake of all the blessings that he has for us.
Yes. I think it's just interesting, too, because you and I were talking about The Chosen, the TV show, and why it's called The Chosen. And we think it's because of two different reasons. Like, one is because, yeah, Jesus Christ is the chosen one in a way that he was chosen to come down and be our savior. But also, we think that the title of the show has to do with the apostles that were chosen, that they accepted the invitation to follow Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I really like the way that the show portrays them, of just that all of them being really different, but yeah, really what they all had in common was that they chose to follow the savior, and that's yes. all it really takes. Yes. So
I also think that in that show, what they really do well is to show us how human all the apostles were and the followers. Mm-hmm. You know, that they came from different walks of life, and none of them were perfect. They were all just regular people with their strengths, but also with their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And that, but they had the opportunity to be disciples of Christ and to follow him and to be by him and to learn from him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were really, they had the desire to do that, then they started changing and they started yeah. becoming something else.
Yes.
And I think that this is the same with each of us. It's not just, you know, the ones that are called as apostles or given certain callings, but I think that all of us are invited mm-hmm. by the Lord to be his disciples and to really become something better. Be better each day. Just keep improving and keep learning from him and keep developing that love for him.
Yes. Well, I was just, you and I were both kind of talking about like why the Lord had Elder Benar talk about this during General Conference. And I don't know, it's just interesting because even though he's using a parable, which parables are not always like super literal, obviously, I think in this case it is kind of literal, though. Like, he is inviting us to wear our garments of the priesthood that we get from being endowed in the temple. So
in a way, his talk is a parable.
Yeah, I feel like it's a really literal one, though.
Yes, like, yes.
It's kind of not a parable, in my opinion.
Well, I can tell you by experience that when you get an assignment to speak in General Conference, it is an interesting process because, you know, all the general leaders, we are exposed to different things. We visit members in different places. We get different kinds of impressions. And this happened to me when I was in the Relief Society General Presidency. And then there you have concerns. And as you ponder about what you're going to talk about in General Conference, the Spirit keeps bringing to your mind and to your heart certain topics and certain things that you feel that you could probably cover. And I imagine that for the apostles and for the First Presidency, it's even a deeper or a more interesting process because they know that they have to speak every time. Mm-hmm. So for them, it's even more constant and something that I'm sure that they're always thinking about. you know, what they're going to talk about in general conference. And the fact that Elder Bednar felt that he needed to talk about this shows that there is some concern that he got impressions from the Spirit, that the Lord was putting things in his heart and in his mind, mm-hmm. and that there was a need to talk about this.
Yes. I think that, like, in talking about this, we have to talk about the temple and the covenants that we make there, because, I mean, the garment is meant to remind us of those covenants. Mm-hmm. I think we just need to, like, ponder, like, why does Heavenly Father invite us to make these covenants, which the five temple covenants that are in part of the endowment ceremony are, like, the law of obedience, the law of the gospel, the law of sacrifice, the law of consecration, and the law of chastity. I mean, one of the reasons why I titled this podcast, like, Consecrating Your Life, is because I feel like the covenant of consecration is not really even, like, talked about or thought about very often. And I don't know. That's kind of why I just wanted it to be a more constant thing on my mind.
Mm-hmm. If we go back to April 2019, Elder Bednar also gave a talk called Prepared to Obtain Every Needful Thing. And in there he talked about how the best temple preparation, or the most effective one, needs to happen in our homes. Mm-hmm. He talked about how to prepare the rising generation to make covenants in the temple with Heavenly Father. And he talked about, well, he actually quoted President Benson, who said that the temple is a sacred place, but because of the sacredness, we are sometimes reluctant to say anything about the temple to our children and grandchildren. And as a consequence, many do not develop a real desire to go to the temple, or when they go there, they do so without much background to prepare them. So Elder Bednar, in a way, he was inviting us to talk more about the temple, and he actually mentioned two guidelines. He said that because we love the Lord, we always should speak about his holy house with reverence. And the second guideline is that the temple is the house of the Lord, and everything in the temple points out to our Savior, Jesus Christ. With that background, there are some things that happen in the temple that we can talk about, because they're about the plan of salvation. Many of them are in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to talk about it, so we can help the rising generation get ready for it.
Yeah. And I liked what that last thing that you quoted from Elder Bednar, where he says that everything points us to the Savior. Yeah, something that I shared when I was teaching this in Relief Society recently. I shared about how in the endowment ceremony, at the very end, you go to the veil. And in Hebrews, we're told that the veil represents the Savior. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting because the markings that are on the veil are the same ones that we have on our garments. Mm-hmm. And so when we're wearing our garments, it's like we're taking the Savior with us everywhere we go. And we're taking a reminder of him and of our covenants that we've made of him wherever we go. I just feel like if we look at it that way, that's just such a really beautiful thing. Like, and it's something that has really blessed my life. I just kind of wonder, how can we turn, like, our hearts and desires to Christ instead of wanting to do our own thing?
I think that, you know, the garment of the priesthood, in a way, it represents, you know, the garments that were made for Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. As we know, after they partook of the fruit, God came to talk to them, and then they realized that they were naked. They felt this, you know, that they were not protected. They felt that they needed to hide. But then the God came to them, and he made garments for them to wear. And so, in a way, I believe that the garment of the priesthood represents, you know, that protection that we receive from God. Mm-hmm. And it's, in a way, it's like a symbol of the covenant that we have made with him. When we go to the temple in our church, we make promises to God, and we talk about those laws that you just mentioned. But the beautiful thing is that in return, we also receive promises from him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a two-way covenant or agreement that we make.
Mm-hmm.
And we are promised that we are going to be protected and that we are going to be blessed. Our body is blessed and every single part of it is blessed. And we are also promised this power that we are going to be endowed with.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the power of the priesthood. It is beautiful to think that our covenants, the promises that we make to God, give us power.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that we promise something to him, we are committing ourselves. And it's something that is very close to our heart and is very close to the way we live our life. And in return, we receive so much from him because we receive that strength that we need in order to endure everything that mm-hmm. we have to endure in this life.
Yeah. I don't know. As you were saying that, I just remembered, like recently you and I went to the temple and we happened to see my friend, Sister Bennett, who used to be in my YSA ward. And so I got to sit by her and it was great. It was so interesting though. She told me during the endowment, as we were getting ready for like the true order of prayer, she just like turns to me and whispers, like, she said something like, I realized it's called the true order of prayer because when we pray, that's what's happening to us. Like we're being surrounded by people that maybe we can't see, but, or we're surrounded by this protection.
Mm.
I just thought that was so beautiful. And again, I think that when we choose to keep our sacred covenants and wear our garments, like that protection is so much more tangible, even if I don't really see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so beautiful what you just said, because everything is symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we do in the temple, you know, even the baptismal covenant is symbolic. You mm-hmm. know, we are immersing water. And then we emerge, supposedly, as a new person, which is exactly what happens. And we do it in the name of Christ. And because of his resurrection, we are going to be resurrected. So everything that we do in the temple is very symbolic, too. And the endowment is like a symbol of our journey through life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our journey through making covenants with God and receiving that power from him so we can get ready to be in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing about that is that we are preparing for the future when we actually die and then we have to, you know, come in the presence of God. But it also represents the present, which means that we can get closer to him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that the covenants that we are making are helping us get closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you mentioned the veil, that's kind of the last part when we actually go and symbolically we come to the presence of God
mm-hmm.
because we have been preparing all along. It's like a journey.
Yes.
And the same thing happens through our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are always preparing to get closer to him every day, but also at the end of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the prayer, again, is like a symbolism of what happens when we commune with God in prayer, when we communicate with him in prayer. We are not alone. You know, there are always angels around us and mm-hmm. and our ancestors also are closer to us than we think,
mm-hmm.
the ones that have passed away. And also we always have people around us who love us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we always need to remember, that we are never alone.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how sad, how lonely we may feel in life,
mm-hmm.
there is always people around us that care about us,
mm-hmm.
that are willing to listen to us, that are willing to cry with us, that are willing to support us. So I think that everything is just symbolic, mm-hmm. everything that we do in the temple, but also everything that we learn about the gospel is always a symbolism of the Savior, of his mission, of his role in our salvation, in our exaltation, and in the beautiful invitations that he gives to us to partake of his blessings.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. You tell me if I need to cut this out, but it just cracks me up that when Elder Bednar came to UVU and gave a really, really awesome talk, he literally said the temple doesn't matter. But what he meant by that is, I mean, kind of like what you were saying, everything is a symbol of the Savior. Like, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And it's not really the building, the temple, the building is not the important part. It's like, I don't know, there's just so many other things. It's who we are becoming. It's who the Savior sees that we can become. Like, it's mm-hmm. just all those things. And yeah. it just makes me laugh that he chose to say it that way. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean to know what he was thinking, but I know that many times, some of us, we idolize the temple itself mm-hmm. so much, you know, like mm-hmm. the building, which is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And it's dedicated. It's the house of the Lord. But the most important thing is what happens in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not for us to go to the temple just for the sake of going, but it's for us to go with a humble heart, with the desire to learn and to get closer to God. And to then when we get out, when we, every time we go and then we get out and we come back to our life, is to be better, to be stronger, to have that power with us and to remember the covenants that we have made.
Mm-hmm.
And to know in our heart that if we really try to be faithful, if we strive to be faithful, that we are going to be blessed, that Spirit will be with us, and that we'll be endowed with that power.
Mm-hmm. I really liked what my friend Sean had to say about this, too. He showed me, I guess it was something in the manual, the general handbook of the church, that says something about the garment, and it says that it's an outward expression of an inner commitment. So in other words, it's really intimate and it's a personal thing when we wear the garment, which is really beautiful because it's like symbolic of our intimacy and personal relationship with our Father in heaven and with mm-hmm. our Savior. And I really like what Sean had to say about how, I mean, not to speak down on other religions or anything, but like he was saying that other religious garments are outward and they're kind of meant to be presented to the community in a way. And for us, the garment is not something that we're advertising to people. It's just something, again, that's really personal, and it's meant to remind us of the covenants that we've made with our Lord. And I hope that people can like feel the love that we're having as we're talking about this, because I'm sure like both Elder Bednar and us, like we feel the need to talk about it because we've seen it being, like I've literally seen on social media people like kind of discouraging almost people mm-hmm. to wear the garment. And I feel like we just need to be a voice for good. And I'm not judging anyone who doesn't wear the garment or anything, but I just think it's so important to talk about the awesomeness that is the garment mm-hmm. and our temple covenants and everything.
Yeah, but you're bringing a good point, because we should not judge each other.
Exactly.
You know, it's a personal decision how we perceive it and how we see it.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's a beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
something that we cherish and that we love, and I feel a closeness, you know, by the fact that I wear my garment every day. I feel a closeness with Heavenly Father, and that is my personal way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I feel.
Yes. I guess I even just want to share what some of my other friends have said. And I'm just going to use their names because I already told them that we were recording this. And so I think they'll be fine with that. I really like what my friend Caitlin had to say about this. She said, I never knew my role in God's plan with more of a surety than after I received my endowment and beforehand. Was cleansed and anointed in the initiatory and received my temple garment. I've always respected the priesthood of God and came to know that the access to that priesthood that I had while I was in the temple. As women, we still have access to priesthood power through our temple covenants, but we just exercise it differently in the organization of the church. So, like every time we put on our temple garment, that's an opportunity for a deliberate sacredness. Which I really like, because I feel like consecration, part of consecration has to do with like becoming holy. And so we are becoming holy when we wear the garment. My friend Hope quoted the scripture in 3 Nephi 13:21. The scripture says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Kind of like I mentioned before of how we can turn our hearts and desires to Christ. I just think that, like, if we really want to get close to him, then we will just sacrifice our own desires for his. And it's, I have, obviously it's like easier said than done, but I just can testify that as I've repented and I've let go of things that are not eternally important, I guess, I have like felt much more closer to my Savior, and I feel like less distracted from things that keep me from those eternal things. And so, yeah, I really like that. Lily says, she says, I've only been endowed for a few months and I felt a lot of opposition from the adversary in that time, but wearing my garments is a reminder that Jesus Christ is always with me.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you that I grew up in Nicaragua, which is a very, very humid and hot climate.
Yes.
It's very hot over there, very humid. And because of that, you know, we wore a lot of cotton clothes made out of cotton. And as you can imagine, it's a little bit sheer, the cotton. You can see through it many times. Mm-hmm. So because of that, you know, my mother raised me wearing under shirts or undergarments.
Yeah.
Because that way, you know, you could not see through it, through my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But also I felt that it actually helped with the sweat. It will absorb the sweat and you will not feel that hot.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that in those climates, and we can see it in the Middle East, people sometimes they wear different layers to protect themselves from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But also because when you wear layers, there is some kind of like a layer of air that forms in there, and that keeps you cool.
Yeah.
So for me, wearing the garment was not a big difference because I was already kind of used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, also, I grew up in a place where, you know, women are seen like objects,
mm-hmm.
many times. And I remember being very young, maybe I was 11, 12, when I started having all these men catcalling me, which was very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
When I was on the street. And even also some inappropriate touching on the buses because I would have to take public transportation to go to school and different places. Because of that, I always felt the need to cover my body.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the need to cover it. Just to clarify, I don't think that we are responsible for what other people are thinking. But I feel that that because our body is so sacred and so beautiful also. It's not that we are hiding it,
mm-hmm.
but because it's so beautiful that we need to cover it in order to protect it from the elements, in order to protect it from different things. And for me, that's why also the garment is a protection, because
mm-hmm.
I feel that I'm covering my body.
But I don't want people to think that we don't believe in necessarily controlling other people's thoughts by covering ourselves. I think it's also just about, like it says in Alma, of just like bridling our passions so that we can be filled with love. In other words, like he wants us to have a really beautiful romantic love with our spouse,
mm-hmm.
and nobody else. And so I think like you said, because our bodies are so beautiful, we should only be sharing them with that one person. And so, I don't know, that's how I see it too. And that's kind of how this summer I worked a lot with some teenagers that were mostly church members. And like they had questions about modesty and stuff. And so I just would tell them stuff like, it's because your body is so beautiful. And I don't have any kids of my own, but if I were to teach them about that, I would teach them in the context of the temple, the covenants, and the garments. I wouldn't be like I would try to do it in a way that's really positive. Like everything that we've just said now, I would try to describe it maybe to like a 5-year-old, but like I would try to describe it in a way that would make sense as they're growing up. But yeah, yes. In that context though.
And of course, these are all personal decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every person decides how they want to live their life. and how they perceive things. As we make covenants in the temple, we are given those beautiful wedding garments or the garment of the priesthood. And we have the opportunity and the privilege, I think it is a privilege also, to wear them and to honor our covenants by wearing it.
Mm-hmm. So Elder Bednar, in his talk, he quoted these two verses. The first one is in Isaiah 52:1. It says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments." And Doctrine and Covenants 82:14 says, "For Zion must increase in beauty and in holiness. Her borders must be enlarged, her stakes must be strengthened. Yea, verily I say unto you, Zion must arise and put on her beautiful garments." I really like the language that it uses here. It's all very positive. Like, if in order for you to increase in beauty and holiness, you need protection, you need to be strengthened. And I think we can do that by embracing the gift that Heavenly Father has given us of the temple, the covenants that we make, and the garments of the Holy Priesthood. Okay, so to end, we want to just ask ourselves, how does the things that we've talked about today have to do with consecrating our lives to the Savior Jesus Christ?
Well, I think that, again, consecration is the way we live our life. That's the way I see it. Again, like we were talking, the journey that we go through in the temple is just symbolic of the journey that we go through life. And the role that the Savior's place in our covenants is as important as the role that he plays in every day of our life. So for me, the things that we have talked about, they are related to consecration because they show how close we want to be to the Savior and how we see the covenants that we have made with him. And I think that the beauty of covenants is that, like I said before, it's a two-way promise. It's the things that we promise that we are going to try to do, that we're going to strive to do, knowing that we are not perfect, but it's also knowing that our Heavenly Father and our Savior, they are all have also committed to protect us, to give us power, to help us in every way in our life. So by us trying to keep those covenants, we are consecrating our life to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are showing how important those covenants are.
What came to mind is that the parable of the vineyard, where some of the workers come late and they're rewarded with the same blessings as the workers that were working all day. If we choose to accept the invitation to join the Lord and to obey his commandments, even though like anyone can be forgiven and come back into the fold eventually, why wouldn't you just choose that now instead of just putting it off until later? And I think that by keeping our covenants, yes, we're given more responsibility. Like, yes, we're expected to follow certain standards, but it's like it's for our benefit though, and we shouldn't see that as a problem. And so just in my mind, consecrating our lives means to choose to be chosen, like we were talking about, and to just choose to turn our hearts to the Savior now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you are interested in learning more about the temple and doing your own study about it, I'm going to put a lot of links in the show notes for things that you can read, including some things that President Nelson, our prophet, has suggested that we can read in the scriptures. We hope you'll join us next time, and we'll see you then.